This leader is provided to permit the projectionist to complete adjustment of focus and sound level before the film begins.
On today's show, we review the men's and women's Final Four. We talk a little bit about that, baseball, and World War III, a.k.a. LSU, Iowa. It's tonight, April 1st, 2024.
Initiate explosion in 3, 2, 1.
All right, welcome everybody. It is the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion, the JLSBX, here on Monday, April 1st, 2024. Welcome everybody. Thanks for listening to the show, sharing, doing all that fun stuff. Comment, rate, do whatever you can. Let's keep this thing a rolling. I hope you all had a great weekend, a fun Easter, all that type of stuff. Watch plenty of basketball. There's so much to consume sports-wise, and that's why we're going to get to it today. Remember, you can always find us, if it comes down to podcasting, there's so many outlets out there that you can find us, and we're on pretty much all of them. But if you got to pick one, go to Spotify, please. Let's bump those numbers so we can become cajillionaires within a couple weeks. Also, thanks for following on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, Facebook, and so on and so forth. You can find those at the JLSBX at Twitter or on Facebook. Without further ado, my guest this week, you may know him from back in the sports ball and retro days, Mr. David Sigfus. Dave, what's happening?
Josh, good morning.
Yeah, it's just not the same not being in the $7.5 million studio with you, but I mean, I guess Zoom is as comfortable as we're going to get here, so.
Well, you've got the crowd with you, so that's
yeah,
a plus.
Yes, thank you. In spirit, I have a Diet Mountain Dew ready for you on ice.
Oh, I gave it up a while back, but thank you.
No, well, then fuck me. Okay. Yeah, sorry. For old time's sakes, this is the show where we answer the question.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
There's quite a bit going on here, but before we get to that, the big question on everybody's mind here, Dave. As the JLSBX on Facebook has its polls, what is the go-to cereal on a Saturday morning cartoon binge for Dave Sigfus?
It's Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Come on.
That was number three in our polls. Number one was Fruity Pebbles. No, it was number two. Cinnamon Toast Crunch, you can't go wrong. I mean, how do we put sugar on top of sugar and then bake it into sugar?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so number two is Fruity Pebbles. Disgusting.
No, number one? Number one was Fruity Pebbles. Number two was Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Oh. I got that wrong. Fruit Loops up there at number three.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Josh, I was at the grocery store the other day buying a small chocolate milk, you know, the individual serving.
Sure.
And right next to it was a bottle of Cinnamon Toast Crunch milk. I'm not kidding.
I believe you.
And I did not buy it.
I was just going to ask you, I'm going to say I was a Fruity Pebbles guy, although you're right. It's just crack bird seed is what it is. I mean, yeah. I would say this Cinnamon Toast Crunch produces the best cereal milk out of all the cereals. I mean,
it's 1A, 1B would be like Cocoa Pebbles or Cocoa Puffs.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, you got yourself a whole bowl of chocolate milk now. God, we are such fucking animals. It's
America.
Yeah, America. Yeah. I'm glad everybody for participating in the polls because, you know, everybody knows exactly what I'm talking about with the Tupperware.
You notice Cheerios wasn't in the mix. Or Wheaties.
Correct.
Get that shit out of here.
Get the fuck out of here with your healthy bullshit. And then that was the Breakfast of Champions, but I mean, it wasn't the breakfast of Saturday morning cartoons. In fact, I don't even recall a Wheaties commercial on Saturday mornings. The people in the marketing for Wheaties were probably like, that's a waste of fucking time. Just
Yeah.
Let's advertise, you know, during the Goodwill games on TBS or something, or, you know, whatever it may be.
Let's put Bruce Jenner on the box. Nothing will ever change that appearance.
Nothing will ever change.
It'll be a good look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking good there. Before we get into what we were about to get into, hey, Rashid Rice, where you at, man? Turn yourself in if you can hear this. Did you see this shit?
I saw he was a suspect in a wreck or something, or person of interest, maybe. I don't know.
Got in a collision, but fled the scene, which means what, Dave? DUI was probably
most likely,
but if he turns himself in today, you know, that alcohol's out of his system, so
I'm assuming
nothing's going to become of it.
Lamborghini, Ferrari, something like that.
That was two of the cars. There was two people fled the scene, or two different cars or something like that. So,
okay.
So when I talk to my son later today who wants to go to the Rashid Rice football camp in June, I'll be like, well, yeah, because it might be discounted now. I mean, you know, you never know.
Yeah. Or the price went up.
Attorneys aren't cheap.
No.
The other thing I was going to hit before we get into our bigger topics, you know that I'm a fan of chaos, right, Dave? You know, I love it. You know, 10 years ago, Illinois Northwestern playing at Wrigley Field, and nobody thought to fucking measure the dimensions of the field 2 years ahead of time, so they had to keep playing the same direction like it was a backyard football game. Do you see this in the women's matchups in Portland? The 3-point lines were off. Now, I'm going to assume this wasn't a basketball court built solely for this weekend's matchups. It's probably an existing basketball court, but one of the distances was not the same at the top of the key. I just find that shit funny. Like, who doesn't think to check any of this shit?
What was the difference?
It's probably like 6 to 8 inches. It's probably not a big deal. And both coaches, here's the deal. Both coaches were told, this is in the NC State Texas game, women's matchup. Both coaches were told ahead of the game, hey, this is the way it is. The NCAA and whatever wants you to just play it instead of postponing. And since the coaches were told, they're like, fuck it. Yeah, we're fine. And again, it's inches. And it didn't make a difference. It wasn't like the game, there was a buzzer beater. Someone hit a 22-foot .3 shot to win it. So, I mean, it didn't really matter. I just find that shit funny. That it's,
in a way,
you put so much
it could be like the win, you know, in a football game.
Correct, yeah.
Each team's going to deal with it on either half. So, it's not a big deal.
Right. But I just, you know, I find amusement in those type of things where
you had one job.
Well, they put so much time and planning in the corporate sponsorship of this shit. No one can figure to measure out the lines. Yeah. And when you saw them doing it and looking at it, you could tell one was shorter because just beyond the free throw line, you're like, the top of the arc is a little close. It looks a little, and it was so. Oh, well, hopefully they get that fixed. Or not. I don't give a shit. I mean, if you just go ahead and, you know.
Wouldn't matter to Caitlin Clark.
No, she shoots from the logo anyway. Doesn't even matter. That is what's called a great transition, Dave, as today, tonight is World War III, Dave. LSU and Iowa, the rematch. I call these things non-conspiracy theories, which basically means when the brackets were released, there was no accident that LSU and Iowa were in the same region. Come on. This was meant to be. This is what they wanted. Yeah. This is what we all wanted. You know, they say there's no guarantees in life except for death and taxes. Well, when LSU won on Saturday and then was followed by the Iowa game, I was like, put everything you own on Iowa. There's no way they're losing this game to Colorado at this point now. And they blew out Colorado. But there was no way this was going to be LSU Colorado on Monday night on ESPN. Right. They could not do that. A lot of hype.
I got a couple
heading into this. Yes, sir.
Things I wanted to bring up. Okay. Not a sponsor, but on FanDuel, Iowa is currently a 1.5 favorite.
Yeah. Okay.
With the over under at 168.5. In the men's side, the Alabama UConn game, of course, UConn and Purdue are big favorites in the men's side, but UConn, Alabama, 161 and a half over under. And the Purdue NC State over under is 146 and a half. So they're not predicting a lot of defense tonight when the women's match up, or
No.
is it just a lot of great offense?
Well, when they met, it was last year, it was 102-85, so that's 187 points they scored.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark, so essentially every game is her potential last game for the University of Iowa, so she's going to let it all hang out there. I don't see,
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be like Kobe Bryant's last game where he put up 238 shots, but
Yeah.
if Iowa finds themselves down 5 to 10 points in the fourth quarter, you can bet your ass she's going to be shooting from the logo. Which could or could not be a good thing because I've seen her try to force that shit a little too often. I think the big key in tonight's game, and I hate to say this because I've seen it hurt Iowa in the late regular season and throughout this tournament, they can't get boards. They're not big, and LSU is going to eat their lunch down low. And the other thing I've
Yeah.
noticed in the first three tournament games, Iowa's played against Holy Cross, West Virginia, and then Colorado. Not so much in the Colorado
Yeah.
game, but those first two games, the other teams were going right at Caitlin Clark. Like they were bullying her around, pushing around, making her have to do things. Now, fortunately for her, she's an excellent passer and knows to find her teammates and is getting the wins. This is going to be tough though, because
Yes.
she's got for size, she's only got Hannah Stolke down low, and then that's kind of it. Other than that, Iowa is a bunch of shooters, so they've got to be hitting tonight. That's
Yeah.
just the bottom line.
The thing that you look at who Iowa's lost to this year, that K-State game was awful. The Nebraska game was just a fluke thing. Nebraska is a pretty good team, okay? But then they lost to Indiana, and I want to say Ohio State. Was that the fourth one?
Correct.
Okay. I don't know everybody that LSU has lost to, but they played South Carolina tough in two games. They lost them both,
Yeah.
but South Carolina is really good.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
LSU is, as much as I dislike the coach for no reason other than she's just annoying,
Mulkey.
Mulkey. She's amazing. She's really good at adapting and making changes, and what a matchup tonight.
The thing I wanted to point out with tonight's games, plural. You got Iowa LSU, so you got the stars in that game, Clark and Reese. But then the other game, UConn USC, you got Beckers and Juju Watkins. Is this a turning point for women's basketball? Because this is like as big as it gets in one night for the sport, really, because you've got a face to go along with all four teams, and it's not even the Final Four yet.
Yeah, we've talked about this in the past. I don't know what the answer is, but there's not a whole ton of bankable stars in women's college basketball, which is unfortunate. There could be, but we've got, Reese is popular for her. Yeah, she's a good player, but she likes to talk shit.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark brings it every game.
Yeah, she does.
What are your thoughts? I got in a little argument with my sons, my grown adult sons. Ice Cube offered Caitlin Clark $5 million to play in the Big Three against a bunch of old, washed up former NBA players.
Yeah, and the thing is, that would take her 58 years to make $5 million in the WNBA. But the
Yeah.
thing is, no matter where she goes, her money's going to be made in endorsements. So a
Yeah.
salary doesn't really matter. I think she'll go the WNBA route because really, if her angle is to not just be a good player and keep playing basketball, but also be, a public figure and a mentor and an inspiration, if you will, little girls would like to see her playing in the WNBA as opposed to, as she said,
Well,
pick up ball against a bunch of former NBA dudes,
Ice Cube said that they will work around it. It won't affect her WNBA schedule, which is only, what, 2 months, I think, in the summer. So my point I was making with my boys is she's a perimeter scorer, and washed up 40-year-olds aren't going to be playing clamping down on her on the 3-point line.
Not at all.
If she was a center, if she was outie from Iowa State, it'd be different because they're going to be camped out in the lane, these grown men, and she's going to hit her threes. So I think she could contribute. I'm not saying she's going to dominate.
It would be awesome if she could do both. That would be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Either way, I thought it was an interesting and props to Ice Cube because it's all about getting her some money that she's not going to see in the WNBA. Let's be real.
Hey, Dave, when you were listening to Straight Outta Compton circa 1989, did it ever cross your mind? It's like, you know, I bet one of these guys is going to like run a basketball league offering women a job to play in their sport. That's exactly what went through my mind, right? Yeah.
Exactly what I was expecting. Yes.
Correct.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah. Or the. Are we there yet? I don't even remember what the name of the shitty movies he did, you know, post.
Yeah, that's what it is. I think of Eazy-E and his glowing lyrics about women. Things have really evolved.
If he was still alive, though, because he was all about the hustle, he'd be happy to start an all-women's pro basketball league if it made him money. He wouldn't give a shit.
Sure. Yeah. Very true.
He would have a team called the Bitches, a team called the Hoes. I mean, they, you know, if I know me some Eazy-E. Moving on.
Well, what is your prediction? What is your prediction for this game tonight?
Shit. I'm trying to make a prediction without being a homer about it. Like I said, the problems with Iowa is getting boards and the down low play. But I do think that Caitlin Clark she's gonna have some. She has something to prove. I mean, she's gonna drop 40 plus on this game. I'll take Iowa by free throws at the end. You know, 4 or 5 points. But I see it I think the overs will hit. I think we're gonna see something like a 94-89 type of thing.
Definitely, I love Iowa. I'm a huge fan of her. I just love basketball. So as much as I think LSU is going to dominate the paint, I think Caitlin's, like you said, something to prove. So I got Iowa 2 points. I think they'll cover.
Okay. Yeah, the 1.5 point spread. The other game, I would take UConn because I'm a big Ariyama fan, and he's such a brilliant coach. And I think with USC having a star player, I think he'll figure out how to control Juju Watkins and get the win there, and UConn goes back to the Final Four again, and then that's coming up in the next weekend. Speaking of the Final Four, on the men's side over the weekend, Purdue takes it to Rocky Top with a win, 72-66. NC State, the 11-seed darling, over Duke by 12 points. UConn over Illinois, Bama over Clemson. NC State, how far can they go? Are they in the title game?
Well, their best player is a defensive lineman. You know,
PJ
Burns. They're kind of a fun team to watch, but he's not going to score on Edie, I don't believe.
No, and Purdue, and this is why I'm a friggin' genius. And by genius, I mean I have nothing right about anything I've predicted in this men's side. The one thing I said, and this is not, you know, I'm glad you're sitting for this one. I predicted UConn to win the whole thing, along with 26% of the country. So there's no shock there. But I thought Purdue was a soft one seed. I really did, and they have proven to not be. They're taking it. They're winning over the teams they need to. They got NC State in this Final Four matchup. I do think Purdue is one dimensional with Edie, but. I mean, they didn't hover around the number one spot in the country all year long for just one reason. You know what I mean? They're a pretty complete team, and they played in a tough conference.
They've got talk about something to prove, losing last year to a 16 seed, you know. And from what I understand, I only caught a few minutes here and there of that game. Is he got the complete Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant foul treatment? There were some questionable calls, and I got that from. I mean, I don't know any Tennessee basketball fans, but a lot of people were saying that he was gifted the 40 points. I hate that kind of complaining. you know,
yeah,
because there's human element involved here. But it sounds like he's matured enough to, he knows what he can do to get to the line, and that's the mark of a veteran, of a senior, you know.
Yeah. The other thing is too, you know what happened the last time a one lost to a 16? That one came back and won the national title the very next year. That was Virginia in 19. So talk about redemption. Yeah. So it could happen. That would be bizarre. That the only two times, the only two times a one loss they redeemed in the very next season.
Yeah.
Which would prove that these guys don't have a short-term memory, and that losing to a 16 really fucking stings over the summer, I bet. So.
Yeah.
Speaking of one seeds, I've watched a lot of basketball in my day. I'm sure you have. I've never seen a 30-0 run in a basketball game. UConn, and as a matter of fact, when I was watching the UConn-Illinois game the other day, and by the way, Illinois is no joke. That's a damn good team. But there was, at one moment, when Illinois finally ended that 30-0 run, I believe the announcer said that was like 51 or 52 real-time minutes since they scored.
Almost an hour.
Jesus Christ. And the thing is about UConn, and of course, I mean, they lost three times this year, and they got their asses handed to them late by Creighton, so they are beatable. But when I was watching them the other day in that Illinois game, the thing is that impressed me was the chemistry. There was so many times a player for Connecticut was getting in trouble and just passed to a spot, and one of his teammates ended up in that spot. Like the way you're supposed to, right? You know, like if you really know your offense, it's like, I know he's going to be there. I know he's, you know, that just happened all throughout the game. And there's nothing Illinois could do about it. Like, absolutely not.
You know, when you and I were in high school 100 years ago, our girls program was better than the boys. Not that the boys team was bad, but I remember our girls team winning some games like 80-10, 90-15.
Yeah.
But even then, I don't remember a 30-0 run. There probably was something like that, but it's in major men's Division I basketball. Never seen it. It's crazy. Yeah.
I've never even seen it in the NBA with, you know, a shitty team and a superior team. It's unheard of. But that ends Illinois' season, which leads, and so UConn's got Alabama, as you stated earlier, which is interesting that over-under is lower, because I believe Alabama was the top-scoring team in the nation, and then UConn not far behind.
Yeah.
So it will make for an interesting matchup. So Purdue, NC State, and then UConn and Alabama coming up this weekend. Rashid Rice, where are you, man? Turn yourself in. But anyway, tonight, World War III. Hey, Dave, you ready for some Marvin Steve?
Let's do it.
All right, a little bit of Marvin Steve here, and the rules are very simple. It's a yes-no type of question. It's a Marv.
Yes.
Or a Steve.
Oh, hell no.
You ready for the challenge? You ready for the challenge, buddy?
Let's do it.
Okay. Question number one, coming off what we were just discussing. This weekend in the Final Four, both sides, men's and women's, do the women beat the men in the ratings?
No. Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no.
Even if Caitlin Clark is there?
I just don't see it happening. I want it to happen. I'm not a believer in it. Okay. I think a lot of the Caitlin Clark stuff is regional. I realize it's reached other parts of the country, but I still think it's a regional thing for the most part. Maybe not.
Okay. And also the women's Final Four being a Friday night, not necessarily a huge ratings night in the sports world, but neither is Saturday night generally, which is when the men's play. And then the women's championship would be Sunday, the men on Monday. So it'd be interesting. I think there will be a standout game for the women's side that will eclipse all the ratings for the whole day or the whole weekend. But in the overall, I think I agree with you that there'll be more viewership on the men's side. So
I think tonight is going to be pop a huge number.
Oh yeah,
Iowa. So, and yeah, that's important.
Yeah. Question number two: are you watching / intrigued in WrestleMania this weekend?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Are you intrigued enough that you're going to watch both nights?
I have to work Sunday, but we have Peacock, so I can just watch it Saturday night. And Saturday night is the tag match with The Rock, who has been, when he first came back here 6 weeks ago, he was trying to be babyface, and the fans weren't having it because everybody's had a little too much of Dwayne Johnson the last couple of years.
Okay.
You know, and whether it's his movies haven't done well, it's all the endorsements and blah, blah, blah. So he recognized that, flipped heel, and it's been gold. And I listen to a lot of Cornette and I watch the clips on YouTube. I can't sit and watch 3 hours of Raw. It's brutal. It's really hard to get through. But the upper crust, the top of the card is fantastic. It's been great storytelling. They have all these superstars back. I'm excited to see how well they perform. Not to mention The Rock looks, outside of his wrinkly face, he looks incredible for being 50 whatever years old. I'm sure there's absolutely no chemical help there at all.
Not at all. I don't care how much salmon he eats per day or long grain rice or whatever the hell it is. No, this heel Rock has been fun, and the tag match being Saturday night, I'm not going to watch it unless I know somebody who can provide me a way to watch it,
sure,
which you say
sure.
is what, Peacock or whatever it is. So
Peacock, and then next year they go to Netflix. Huge $500 million deal.
I saw that, and I've heard that from my boys because I canceled my Netflix account months ago because I wasn't using it. I watched pretty much all I needed to watch, and then they're like, WWE's going to be there. And I'm like, well, that's going to mean it's going to be way more expensive probably too. But
probably.
Who knows? Probably. I'll probably end up getting it because I'm a sucker. here's the... I'm not totally up to speed on the wrestling. I get my updates from my boys and they tell me, it's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Just And I'm like, I have no clue who you're talking about, but whatever. Sure. Sounds great. The only thing I'm excited because I am who I am, because it's in Philly, I'd like to know that there'd be an ECW run-in or something. Not in the important matches. That's not going to happen. But say, like, in the tag match that they're going to have, Tommy Dreamer, the Dudleys, somebody. Just a quick run-in, an interference. I don't know.
The problem is all those big names are affiliated with other promotions now. So if they get some kind of agreement where they work with each other. But Paul Heyman, who created, owned, and operated ECW, is Roman Reigns' manager. He's the wise man, special counsel. And there's no way they're in Philly without paying homage to ECW.
They're going to give him a 10-minute standing ovation. You just know it.
Easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it'll be great.
And he's smart enough that he's going to use that opportunity in some way. He's going to address the crowd. He's going to make a speech. He'll say something that'll be just awesome, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Question number three. I'm talking about now, 2024. Is Metallica cool?
They will always be cool to me. Sorry. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, yeah. I mean, I had an opportunity to go see them, not for free, but I had an opportunity to go see them a few months ago, and I was like, yeah, I'm all right. I mean, I saw them. I've seen them before.
Well, I don't know that that's how I would judge. I mean, I'm older. I don't want to stand for 3 hours with a bunch of douchebags.
That's correct, too.
Worried about my location and proximity to the restroom. I don't want to do that anymore. So,
all right.
As long as the music rips, they're cool to me.
Yeah. Well, and whatever they're playing off their new stuff, as long as they play Master of Puppets, I guess we're all going to be okay, you know? And
yeah, I'm not here for the St. Anger stuff, but I'll listen to it.
Is Metallica cool?
Yes.
Question number four. For the remaining, the remainder of the decade, from now until 2030, are the Atlanta Braves the National League's team to beat?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
I agree with you there. They got a young core. They've got their best players locked up through the end of the decade. You know,
I'll tell you, the
Mets and Phillies have their shining moments, but I don't see them really competing against the Braves year in, year out for the next 7 years.
Favorable team contracts, okay. Great pitching. None of their superstars are wrapped up in a gambling fiasco.
What?
Yeah. So as favorable as that, as you can make a $700 million contract over the next 700 years, I this is quite a story. So I don't know what's going to happen. I hope he doesn't, he's not involved with this any more than helping his degenerate translator, but I'm worried he is.
I don't think anything will become of that. I just don't, because it's MLB is way different now than it was 35 years ago with the Pete Rose shit. It's now it's like if he somehow gets tied to it or connected to it, they'll slap him on the wrist barely. You know, you'd be dumb if you Rob Manfred to lifetime ban him or suspend him for an entire year. I mean, the guy's a global star.
Right, right.
Who did not bet on things, allegedly. And Pete Rose, where are you at? Well, actually, I did see the clip of play.
He was I out did there, see this but, great meme. I saw this meme and it said, welcome back to SportsCenter presented by ESPN Bet. For more on the Ohtani situation, we go to our FanDuel MLB insider, Jeff Passan, at our DraftKings studio in LA, brought to you by Caesar Sportsbook. How could this happen?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that same, yeah. I thought the same thing last summer, or maybe it was a year or two ago or whatever. The scandal with the Iowa and Iowa State football players perhaps betting on games. And it's gone away. There is, you know, apparently the story has faded out, but there was, you recall this story from like last summer or whatever. And these players were, I believe the 10 or 12 of them were all former players. Like they were graduated in 2022, 23, something like that. But I thought to myself, how fucking dare you, NCAA, for even to attempt to come down on these kids when your entire product has sponsorships from all of these places, the FanDuels, the, you know, all this stuff. What do you want a 20-year-old kid to think when now you've allowed him to make his own endorsement money and you're the product that he's generating billions for you is getting sponsored by these betting sites? So, I mean, fuck you.
Yeah. I will tell you a quick story. This will make you laugh. My lovely girlfriend and my boys, we drove down to Oklahoma City Friday to see the Suns Thunder game.
Okay.
And then we came right back Saturday. It was quick 48-hour trip. So we're driving down and I get into Oklahoma and there's casinos every few miles. You know, I'm not sure if they're all native. I assume they are. And I look up and there's a billboard and I do a double take. I'm like, what the hell? And it's freaking Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley pimping one of the casinos down there. And it's not like it's Harrah's, it's not Caesar's, it's some rock and rip casino, some weird thing. I'm thinking, these guys have no shame, but good for them. These two Jewish guys from New York on this billboard in rural Oklahoma.
Disco Stews Casino and Resort coming up at Topawanga, Oklahoma. Just exit 47A.
We get to the hotel, walk into the arena, and I'm thinking, you know what? I haven't bet on anything since the Super Bowl. I'm going to check out some parlays. And I open the FanDuel app, and I can't bet on sports from my phone in Oklahoma, even though I just drove by 45 casinos.
Bummer.
Yeah. And I would have lost anyway because I thought the Suns were going to win.
Yeah.
So
Oklahoma City's not bad.
It was a good trip. I've never been there. Granted, it was one night. We had a really good time. And we were like 11 rows from Kevin Durant. So my boys were quite happy.
There you go. Now, Oklahoma has some funky rules. We learned that when we played South by Southwest 500 years ago. We played the last day we were there, we played an early show. Like, we played like 1:30 in the afternoon. I don't know if you've ever been to South by Southwest. It's just a great party. You can go see great bands at 10 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, 2 at night. It doesn't, you know, it's just all day long. But our last show was at like 1 in the afternoon, and our next show was the following day at like 7 o'clock at night. So we had 36 hours before we had to be at the next place. And we thought, we're like, hey, it's a Friday night. Let's drive a little bit of our drive so we can take care of it. And let's just get a hotel and let's party. And then tomorrow we'll have a short drive and we'll be at the place. And we were lucky that we talked to somebody at a gas station, some gas station tender or something like that. We were 15 miles away from the Oklahoma border. And our plan was to drive into Oklahoma and get a hotel. And he overheard us. And usually you don't like people eavesdropping, but we were glad to have this guy. He was like, hey, you might want to set your plans like right now here in Texas, because the county you're about to enter into Oklahoma is dry and blah, blah. And we're like, okay, because you don't think of those things, because
right.
Iowa and Nebraska, they have no rules like that. I mean, sure, the bars close at 2, but it's not like, well, the bars close at 2. Unless it's a Sunday at 5, and then, like, if you're walking backwards, and then if the sun is at a certain degree, some of these rules in these other states for liquor, it's weird. So,
yeah
that's good old Oklahoma for you.
Yep.
So, are the Braves the team to beat?
Yes.
And are Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley money hungry?
Yes.
Yeah. God bless them. Well, the best quote about them is when every band growing up in their garage wanted to be the Beatles, the Kiss wanted to be Coca-Cola. I'm like, that's the most accurate thing ever said.
Yeah.
Question number 5, and since you were just at a sport, real quick about the game you were talking about. About a month ago or something like that, I took I went to my son's basketball game. He's in 7th grade, and this was like his weekend team, not his school team. And I went to this place. I'm not shitting you, Dave. $13 admission to go watch 7th and 8th grade basketball. And so while I was sitting there and they were warming up, I just, for my own amusement, I looked up NBA ticket prices that night. I could have been at a Timberwolves game that night for $9. And they're good.
And they're really good.
They're
yeah.
good. I was like, yeah. You know, I just wanted to like take my phone and go back up to the person at the counter. It's like, hey, come here. Come here. Look at this. Would you fucking what? $13?
Yeah. It's not really their fault. Yeah.
Well, we got to pay the refs. It's like, fuck you. It's like, there's like a fee we paid at the beginning of the season that covers all that shit. We're supposed to.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'll lose a gasket talking about it. So finally, question number 5. And since you were just in an NBA arena, that you can answer this with great authenticity. Are ballpark nachos nachos? Because and before, you know, I'll give you a second here to think about it. When you know you got nachos, you got a pile of chips, you melt some cheese, you got some tomato, sour cream, jalapeno, all stuff, you know, you put it in the oven, melt it, and do all the stuff. That's nachos. What I'm talking about is the chips with that little pocket of cheese that's in that plastic tray thing. And if you want to jazz it up, like me, you go to the jalapeno bar over where the hot dog stuff is, and you get as much jalapeno as you can. So there's something else to go on the damn chip. So I ask you, are ballpark nachos nachos?
Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no.
Did you have some?
Because I can go to any bar here in town and order some nachos, and it's going to have more than just those 3 ingredients, like you're saying. It's going to have all kinds of stuff. So that doesn't mean I won't eat them at a ballpark.
No,
don't
no,
get me
of
wrong.
Course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the explosive diarrhea that comes with it. But I'd rather, you know, I'd rather pile a bunch of shit on my nachos. I love loaded nachos.
I do too. That is a good way to take us to break. We'll be back here in just a second. We're going to do some number ones, throwing it back to the days of the Sports Ball and Retro Show. Don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere. Anywhere at all. We'll be right back after this very important thing. Or whatever.
And so he looks around at all the people, and I look around at all the people, and I get to see who I share a country with. I live in like the fattest fucking country on earth. And I see 18,000 people, and most of them seem to be eating. They're eating as if their lives depend on it, because most of them have bought arena food. And on this evening, it's a 5-inch diameter corn tortilla chips with that really awful cheese-like rubbery substance that you just kind of... And you put the salsa on top, and you eat it as quickly as you can, because if you don't eat it before it cools, it goes back to its original shape, density, and viscosity, and it becomes inedible, unchewable, and undigestible. So you're like, and so you see these people eating like they're going to win a prize if they consume all of it in 60 seconds or less. Like, and this stuff doesn't really digest through your gastrointestinal tract. Basically, what it breaks down to is a bunch of cells, and if you put it under the microscope, I have. If you look at the cells, they look like just fat-ass refrigerator repairmen with their pants halfway down, with an obscene, hairy 4 inches of ass crack looking back at you, and they attach themselves to the inside of the arteries, and they just like grab on, they stick their ass out in the middle of the artery, and there's so many of them the blood cells cannot get through. Like, pardon me, I really need to get down. Fuck you, I'm the fat ass, I'm not leading. No, we're going to die if I don't get down to the heart. Fuck it, I don't care, I have a shelf life of 9,000 years. Dow Chemical made me.
You're listening to the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion. Now back to the show, you handsome devils.
That's right, we are back to JLSBX. Thanks for listening, sharing, doing all that stuff. Whatever the app you go to listen to the show, please give us a good rating. That would be fantastic. Dave Sigfus joining me on today's show. Dave, I was going to do something, and then I thought not do it because it's stupid. I was going to do some sort of April Fool's prank, but then... 2 seconds went by, and I was like, no, that's dumb. Is April Fool's jokes fucked out?
But Jade just asked me this morning, and she says, is April Fool's Day still a thing? And I'm like, I'm 46. No. No. Who cares? No, it's played out.
I thought I was going to do something, and then, of course, I came to my senses 2 seconds later. But then I realized, oh, that would be something some stupid fucking morning zoo show would do. Well, yeah. So I'm sure right now, if you went to whatever show or on the dial there, you know, 101.3, The Blaze, blah, yeah, today our guest is going to be Joe Biden in studio, you know, or something. I don't know what they, who knows what they do. Or, you know, I want to hear a story of, like, somebody really fucking up with that. Some morning zoo show, like, doing a false 9/11 or something, where it's like, oh, no one found that funny. What the fuck? And then they get fired and all that. That would be just...
Yeah.
I want to know that happens somewhere today in America. So.
Like a van full of nuns runs over a box full of kittens. You know. Everyone dies. Including the kittens. Like, everyone's dead. Right. Oh, just kidding, guys. Zoinks. You know, just yeah. Fucking, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of morning radio, or radio in general, would you like to do some number ones, Dave?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Get us started.
All right. On this day, around this time, 40 years ago, Josh, the great Van Halen blessed us with Jump.
They sure did. And remember, the controversy was synthesizers? How dare they? And it turns out Eddie Van Halen could play a fucking synthesizer pretty well.
He can do whatever he wants, you know.
He can do whatever, rest in peace. He can do whatever he wants, and at the same time, you know. So, yeah. In this video...
Not my favorite Van Halen song, but still better than any Fleetwood Mac song.
You are correct. Wait, Say that one more time.
Not my favorite Van Halen song, but better than any Fleetwood Mac song.
Yes!
Thank you, Marv Albert, for dynamite drop-in. And remember David Lee Roth having the harness around his crotch in the video and floating through the air and all stuff. All I can imagine is, and that's not a very like interesting video really per se, because just them fucking around on the soundstage. But you have to imagine that that was a long day for whoever was filming that thing, because as soon as you put
I assume it was Michael Bay's first directing job.
I could just see the director going, okay, cut back to beginning. We're gonna roll that again. What's he doing? The fuck is he doing? Would you tell him to come back down and get in his marker? What the? And then that's when Michael Anthony goes, "Hey man, we gotta live with the guy. You do what you do, man. You try to bottle the monster. Bottle the monster. Woo! That's what I yeah." I still say to this day, they, you know, dynamic, great front man, but
unbelievable.
You got to tour with the guy, and that's just got to take years off your life right there. That's why it was good that they were successful, or they could like travel apart from each other. You know,
I like to think that he scats all the time, like when they're not on. He's like, "Ele do the pop pop, skiddle do."
Wait. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'll send this link to you, but you got to check out the Henry Rollins Van Halen story. It's so fucking awesome.
Oh, please do.
Yeah. What do we got next?
Ooh, we took a turn. A year later, just an awful song from an awful band. Can't Fight This Feeling by REO Speedwagon.
And Prom Night 1985 was not the same. Coming in at number one this week, REO Speedwagon. Make sure to put your hair very high and poofy, girls, because you're getting picked up in a Trans Am. This song sucks. Oh. Yeah, we're still playing it. Now, if I remember right, isn't this the video where he's like not looking at the camera, but he's looking at a 45-degree angle, and it's supposed to be like big and emotional, and there's like a light shining on his perm and all that shit. Did I just ask
some sort of artsy fartsy director on this one?
Yeah, Michael Bay was like, "Hey man, thanks for acting like true professionals. You know, last year I was filming these guys with a harness, and it just was couldn't get the fucking job done."
Yeah, their singer was in a sex swing.
And something about brown M&Ms, they just would not shut the fuck up about it. It was weird. I don't know what's going on. I don't participate in April Fool's jokes, but I do like to Rickroll people.
Oh, 1988. Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley.
I don't mind this song.
I love that it's become a thing on its own. It's a joke, and he's in on it, which is great.
What else is he going to do? I mean,
true. Great.
I don't know if there's a line around the corner of women wanting to meet Rick Astley in 2024. But if you told them that he's the singer of this song, and they were like, "Oh yeah," it's just.
See, I picture him getting pulled over in his 1988 Porsche. And a cop wanting to ride with him for both. You know, he's like, "Don't you know I'm fucking Rick Astley, motherfucker?" You know, something like that.
I'm Rick fucking still Astley. It'd be funny. The cop's like, "What song are you known for?" And then he, of course, plays it immediately because he's always got it queued, ready to go. And then the cop would be like, "That's not you, you fucking pasty, red-haired, ginger motherfucker. That's not you. This has to be like Luther Vandross or something."
Maybe it's like a Roy Munson situation where he's still wearing the same clothes that he spent his money on back then and same car.
That trench coat he was wearing in the video?
Yes.
I mean,
never know.
I mean, what video? What? Yeah. This song is a time capsule of 1988, kids. This is
no doubt.
This is Hyperware. This is Jelly Shoes. This is Michael Jordan on a Wheaties box that you're not eating when you're watching cartoons. And this is everything.
Yep.
What you got next, Dave?
1994, you and I were in high school. We were just kids. The Sign by Ace of Base. What a huge run that this band had for a few years there.
Yeah. Part of the... Were they Danish or Swedish or some shit?
I think they're Swedish. Yeah.
ABBA,
I think they're Swedish.
And once we learned that, we were all like, so they have reggae in Sweden? What?
What's in the fondue over there?
Yeah. I was sick to death of this band and this shit when it came out, but it has grown on me through the years. I don't mind it.
I don't mind it now. I did not like it then either.
No.
It just wasn't my thing. I was still holding on to the punch, you know?
It was everywhere. Yeah. Well, you saw the sign, but we're seeing you getting on out of here. What do you got next, Dave?
Absolute banger. 10 years later, wow. By Usher, featuring Lil Jon. Yeah,
just performed at the Super Bowl a month ago or something, 2 months ago.
Which I enjoyed.
Yeah. Could you imagine if when he got the gig to perform at the Super Bowl, could you imagine if he got all artsy about it and told the NFL, you know, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to not do yeah. And they were like,
oh, hell no.
They were like, what? No, I'm just feeling that, you know, I'm more dimensional than just that song. And they were like hell you are. You're going to play that song 4 times.
Yeah, Mr. Goodell, I'm into jazz infusion now. So I'm going to bring out my quartet and we're going to rock it.
Yeah. And Bobby McFerrin is one of my special guests, if that's okay. So we're going to do that. I think this is a good opportunity to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show, but we got a very important word coming up here in just a sec from my man and yours, the America's Top 40, Casey Kasem.
Like what you're hearing, share us, tell a friend, and spread the word. You can find us at Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and many more. Don't be a fucking bastard.
Now, we're up to our long-distance dedication. And this one is about kids and pets and a situation that we can all understand, whether we have kids or pets or neither. It's from a man in Cincinnati, Ohio. And here's what he writes. Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's come start again. From coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a fucking up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week. This a last goddamn time I want somebody to use his fucking brain to not come out of a goddamn record that is, that's up-tempo, and I got to talk about a fucking dog dying. Boy, this is fucking ponderous, man. Ponderous, fucking ponderous.
Oh, yeah, nonstop music. Rick Dees, let me get that phone. All right, you got a special request?
Okay, I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a fucking up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication.
No problem. We'll play it for you. Here's the death dedication, just for you.
We now return back to the show.
That's right, we're back to JLSBX, the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion, here on Monday, April 1st. No April Fools for you guys. Sorry, too bad, so sad. Again, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, X, whatever it's called, and find us wherever finer podcasts are produced. You can find us just about anywhere. Spotify, I would recommend, but you can do whatever you want just as long as you're listening and share the word. Today's episode, we're joined by Dave Sigfus. Dave, thanks for coming and hanging out here. It's been fun doing the number ones and all that stuff. Again, just to recap, tonight we've got the World War III is in effect. And UConn-USC, who do you got winning these games?
I think UConn's definitely going to win. I think coaching matters. And I am deeply rooting for Iowa, obviously. I'm a little worried, but I think Iowa wins. I think Caitlin Clark is on a mission.
I agree. And then looking forward into the men's side this week, since I probably won't talk to you for the rest of this week. UConn, Alabama, I'll do that one. UConn. Although I think it'll be a fun game for a while because Alabama could score. And then Purdue, NC State. I got to go NC State. I like a team that's hot late. Who do you got?
UConn for sure. And I still think Purdue with the big man, I like them. I like their chances. I think they're on a bit of a mission themselves. I just don't think they're a good matchup for NC State. But, you know, Purdue has shown us throughout the last 4 years of Edie's career that he can play down to people. So we'll see what happens.
That's correct. They found out last year. Also, WrestleMania, all 3 days. There's 2 days, but really there's three. I know this because for some reason, my son thinks I'm a millionaire or some shit, and he asked me a few weeks ago, can we go to WrestleMania? Yeah, sure. Yeah, no problem. Yeah. Let me get my private jet, and we'll fly to Philly on Friday, and we'll hang out with The Rock. It'll be great. So, but I did just for shits and giggles, I looked at the prices. They were actually not that crazy, but they did have a 3-day package because there's something going on Friday.
The Hall of Fame. Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's also, there is some matches you could attend that it's going on. I imagine there's got people on the roster that want to, that are not part of the card, but would like to be there and wrestle on Friday night. Because then I also saw NXT is doing a big event Saturday afternoon, which I believe is like a pay-per-view type thing. Like, it's a huge deal for them. And then Saturday night, night one of WrestleMania. And then Sunday, there's another thing in the day. And then Sunday night. And then if you still want to hang out in Philly, which I... No, not for me. I've been there. I don't need to be there for that long. But if one were so inclined, Raw is in Philly Monday night. So... at a whole weekend of Philadelphia, and next year, and because, again, that question was asked, next year it's in Minnesota, so that could be a possibility of going up to WrestleMania, so could make a thing.
Prediction, I think Rock and Roman win the tag match, which the stipulation was something that anything goes the second night for the Cody Rhodes Roman match, but Cody Rhodes is going to win. I think he's going to beat Roman. He's going to finish his story that the American Dream started in Madison Square Garden 45 years ago. So I think Cody becomes the new Universal Champ this weekend.
I agree. I think you're right, too. And there's also, outside of the world of wrestling, there is, of course, and see, my boys know this shit, and I do not. I guess Roman has been battling cancer, and this might be his final match. So
he's been in remission for years. He had leukemia several years ago. He's a cancer survivor.
Okay. Well, see, Dynamite reporting here from Josh Lamb. That's what I heard. I don't know. But
I could be wrong.
Yeah, we could all be wrong. I know is Vince McMahon will not be there this weekend, the 4-year anniversary of WrestleMania, and he will not be there. He's got other things going on, so.
He's going to be shitting lucky female's face. So
that is a great note to end on.
Yes.
All right. We're going to get on out of here. The Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion. Thanks for listening, everybody. The JLSBX. Find us on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, Facebook, all that, and so on and so forth. Thanks to Dave Sigfus for being here, and also Lucy, the British chick, for doing the drop-ins. I'm Josh Lamb. We'll talk to you next time. Be good to each other. Don't cost nothing. That's right, we're back. The sport. See what I did? Muscle yeah. memory. All right, we'll try. Fuck it, we'll do it live. In 3, 2, 1. You see, I have sympathy for those moments, you know? It's not, you know, there's fuck ups.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.